Good morning. This is Mike Stola for the Stola Real Estate Report on the Couch Roundtable. This morning, I have one of the leading real estate attorneys in the nation, somebody who's been noted by very major publications and the organizations as probably New York's one and only real estate attorney.
Oh, my wife's going to be so happy.
We got to give a little. His name is Jay Neveloff. He is a member of the executive committee, chairman of the real estate department at Kramer Levin, Naftalis and Frankel. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thank
you. Okay, so what's really happening? We're here in the spring. Is it going to be a good year? What's going to happen in the real estate market?
I think it's going to be a terrific year, and because I want to let you know I'm putting my money where my mouth is, where we just extended an offer today to a very senior lawyer. We have plans to extend another offer to a senior lawyer. We expect to be very, very busy. And I don't know.
In good transactions or in bankruptcies and restructurings?
You know, I think every transaction, almost every transaction is going to emanate from the cycle we're coming out of. So for some people, it's an opportunity. For some people, it's distress. You have an environment where interest rates have stabilized. It's easier to underwrite a deal. People feeling pressure either from lenders or equity holders to do something with the deal. So yes, distress creates opportunity, and I think that's what's going to drive the market.
So where are the opportunities?
I'm going to leave office out of this for a moment. The opportunities are in transactions which may to most people look like they're troubled transactions, but in a recapitalization where the new money goes into the capital stack, defines whether that's a good investment or not a good investment. And that's a different analysis from whether the deal is a good deal or not a good deal. So whether it's a rental property, whether it's a for sale property, where you are in the capital stack defines the transaction. And I believe that most of the action has recently been and is going to be, continue to be, in restacking, recapitalizing transactions.
Okay, why don't you explain what you mean by recapitalizing transactions?
Take a typical real estate deal. It could be a rental property, it could be an office, apartment building, retail. They are, rents aren't what they expected there to be. Occupancy rates aren't what they were hoping to be. So there are vacancies that need to be filled. There are shortfalls. Interest rates have been high over the past few years. So deals are running out of money. Putting aside what the cost was, just because the people bought it a long time ago or held it for a long time ago, they refinanced 5 years ago or 4 years ago. Those loans are becoming due. They need money. They haven't been able to pay full debt service or ground rent because they haven't had rental income. Those deals need money to stay alive, for the cycle to come back again, for the values to come back again. And a recapitalization is fresh money coming into a transaction.
And who is providing the money for the recapitalizations today? I mean, the banks are really stymied. The banks are out of the business.
I think you're right. That's an interesting topic to talk about, who the players are and where the money's coming from. And it's not, it used to be years ago, it was the commercial banks, then it was the investment banks. Now you're seeing private equity funds with immense amount of money that's available to invest. You see family offices with huge wealth creation that's occurred over the past decade that have large portfolios. And they're different types of investors. And some deals are better suited for private equity investors where the funds have a 7 to 10 year horizon. Other deals are more well suited for private families or family offices, which purport to have a longer time horizon. So it depends on the deal, but there's an immense amount of money. There's foreign money because investing in U.S. real estate is simply safer. It's historically a better investment than almost any place in the world.
What about the Chinese? I mean, you represented, I think, the Waldorf Astoria, which was a Chinese investor.
I still do represent the Waldorf. that's money dealing with the Waldorf. That's money that's already in the U.S. It's already invested. And there are a lot of transactions where there's, whether it's Chinese money, Middle East money, European money, a lot of sovereign wealth is looking at deals and is in deals. So it's no longer the commercial banks, which were singularly the largest source of capital years ago. That's all changed.
What about insurance companies, CMBS and CLO?
They're all in the market. Insurance companies are certainly in the market. They probably have a less of an allocation to real estate than they did, let's say, 10 years ago. CMBS again is a whole other topic. CMBS is active. It's there. It is.
But certain companies say they never want to deal with CMBS.
Yes, and I think that the discussions I've had with clients for the past 20 years, when they were looking for debt, is it worth the X basis points? Because the cost of debt will be less expensive if it's CMBS. Is that worth the risk of having to deal with a servicer and a special servicer, the conflicts between the servicer not wanting to let go of the fees and turn over the special servicer, the difficulty in dealing with a special servicer, all those complications. So the question is whether in a lower interest rate environment where the spreads between commercial banks and CMBS are smaller, whether the difference in the rate is worth the potential of having difficulty in challenging times.
What's your thoughts about the office conversions going to residential today?
I think that people view that as a savior, that they think that's going to save a lot of office buildings. But I think that there are only a certain number of office buildings that are suitable for the conversion because their floor plates are too large. They don't have windows. They don't necessarily have ceiling heights that are appropriate. I think that there are some candidates of office buildings that are great conversion topics. So it's challenging. I think we need housing, and we need affordable housing. We need workforce housing, and we need housing just for regular people.
But if we don't have tax incentives, you're not going to have new housing. You may have more affordable housing, but you may not have.
I actually don't, and my friends in real estate might not necessarily like this answer. I think that the existence of tax benefits or non-existence is really a function of price and what you could pay for it, and it goes into the cost of construction is higher. It really goes into what your overall cost of the project. There should be tax incentives, and I believe that the city and state will morph there. I don't know that it'll morph fast enough for the market and fast enough to support the oversupply of office and older, obsolete office. So that's going to be a challenge, but it's not the only obstacle.
Now, in the years you were involved with the Time Warner Center and the other projects, right, including the Google over downtown, do we see any major projects happening over the next 5 years here, with the exceptions of the potential on the casino business?
I'm not aware of anything on the scale of Time Warner Center, Hudson Yards, Brookfield. The casinos, yes, but they keep pushing back.
Right, now the casino. 2025, right. So what do you think about the office market? Is it a good time for a tenant, especially with landlords giving possibly up to a year's rent?
Yeah, it's a terrific time for a tenant. There is a lot of space available. The tenants, I'm told, are gravitating towards higher quality buildings. There's a split in what I'm hearing from the experts who are in the office leasing world about how important amenities are. Some say amenities are important. Some say they're not. I like the concept of live, work, play. So I like the concept of Hudson Yards, where you could live, work, and play in the same area. I think we'll see that on a smaller scale in other places. I think that's attractive. I think office markets are challenging. They're challenging because tenants are reluctant to lease space. They're reluctant to commit to longer-term leases. And from an owner's point of view, they're challenged because they don't have, if you think about an office building that's whatever percentage is vacant, whether it's a third, a quarter, or more than half, they have brokerage commissions that they're going to have to pay up front. They're going to have tenant improvement. That's a big capital outlay for a landlord who has a vacant building, isn't getting the rent from 100% of the tenants, and I don't know how they're paying their debt service. I don't know if they have a ground lease, how they're paying the ground lease. So I think a lot of those deals have to be rethought. It's not only in an office building finding the tenants, it's finding the upfront money. And where's that money coming from? Is it coming from the lender? Is it coming from the owner? It's a stalemate.
Right. It's a problem. It's a difficult time. So in conclusion, would you give me your forecast when the world will get better? Is it 2025?
Is it the real estate world or the whole world?
No, please, we just talk about real estate. You listen to John on the other show, the rest of the world.
Certainly by the end of this year, I think that transactions are going to be all over the place. I think that money is going to be heavily invested. I think that smart money is looking for deals now in what I'll call the off-market or shadow market transactions, which are happening and don't necessarily appear in the papers. Those are happening more and more frequently, where deals are being repriced, where owners of properties are going to brokers and saying, I don't want you to send out a flyer. I want you to go to your 10 best people, see if they want to buy it, or more likely, see if they want to invest. Here's the projection. That's happening a lot, I think, on note sales by banks, which are happening more and more frequently. Those are relationships. Those banks are going off market with sometimes without brokers to people who've bought notes from
right,
them before.
They're a relationship. I'd like to thank Jay Neveloff for being here, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you, Michael.